Well, welcome into it. It's a Saturday night. It's open mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, and we're going to get into something that has always intrigued me, and it seems to have intrigued you. Every time we mention this subject, my bones go crazy, my nails go crazy. And we're going to talk about that amazing, marvelous, living little creature known as the crystal. The crystal. The quartz crystal. They abound everywhere, all over the earth. They grow and they do fantastic things. I think one of the most fantastic things they do, if it wasn't for a quartz crystal, you would not be hearing me tonight. Because we have to use the quartz crystal in Big Blue, the transmitter there. You wouldn't hear any radio station or watch any television station without the quartz crystal. Another amazing thing about a quartz crystal is that, well, it's not important, except to me. I have one in my spa. It's about the size of your finger or your thumb. And I never have to put chlorine in my spa. Sorry about that, Dow Chemical Company, but too bad. I don't like chlorine in my water anyway. And the water in my spa is always crystal clear. I also have one in my refrigerator. And I run the refrigerator at about a third of what I ordinarily would run it. And the refrigerator is always crystal cold. What's going on with the crystals? What are these amazing little things doing around us? Well, to find out about that, a young man who has been with us quite often, he's certainly a friend to Open Mind, he's a friend to many of you, he is a lecturer, goes around the country lecturing on the amazing property of crystals. He has been here before, but never in the chair, as it were, there. We simply call him Ho of Heidi Ho Enterprises. Ho, welcome to Open Mind. Push that
there we are.
Button there, right?
We're on now. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. It is a pleasure to be here. This is a marvelous show, and as you know, we've listened to it and supported it for years.
I know you have, and I appreciate all the work that Heidi Ho has done. And certainly your work in crystals. And, of course, you're, by the way, we might as well just touch on it now. You can get into UFOs. You're just kind of a rather rounded metaphysical person, let's put it
well,
that way.
Well, crystals was the last thing that I got into.
Oh, my goodness.
It was long at the end of the line. I started off in really involved in UFOs. Mm-hmm. I was so fascinated. You have to go back to the 60s where there weren't a lot of bookstores. There were not a lot of centers or teachers. If you wanted books on the metaphysical subjects, you went into one of the major publishers and you found astrology books under the heading occult. It's a lot different now. But back then, I was very interested in things that were a little above or beyond or to the side of what we would call science. I'd had a few experiences of my own that just could not be answered in a normal way. And my first interest was really UFOs. And I was teaching UFOs for a long time before I was doing some of the other things. But, you know, I have a background in radio and television, which we don't talk about very much, but I did that for 15 years, and I kind of put metaphysics in the closet because the people I was dealing with weren't ready for it.
Open the closet, get it out.
Yeah,
speaking of UFOs,
doing.
Paul Shepard will be our guest next week.
You.
Paul has been, I guess, for the last 6 weeks or so, down in South America, chasing the UFO, and he will relate to us the fascinating stories that happened to him down there, and he has videotape of it. He was the guest of governments, and he was the guest of generals. They're the high politicians and the high military people in South America know that there are UFOs. They scrambled their Air Force the other day for them, and they do exist. Also, hundreds of people that he interviewed and he was with. We're talking about very substantial leaders of the community and some of the people who have had some ongoing experiences with him. One man is very upset with his ongoing experience with him, but Paul will be telling you that next week.
He's a marvelous young man. I know him.
Oh, he's a terrific guy, and he was down there doing the Indiana Jones trick
here mm-hmm.
for 6 weeks in the Brazilian and Argentine jungles. So that'll be fascinating next week.
Look forward to that, yes.
Okay, why? What is it about crystals? Why does this capture everybody's imagination? Why are they so important?
There are so many ways to start that kind of a question. Let me start it from a point of view that I have never really expressed before, which is that if we believe... If we believe in a metaphysical way that everything began with spirit, the great spirit, what some people would call nature or some people would call God, the first thing that happened was the creation of the earth.
Well, there the creation of the universe, but the earth was...
But the earth was in there.
A little bit, a tiny part of it somewhere along the way.
Somewhere. Certainly before man or animal or vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And the planet is really a crystal ball. Crystal, quartz crystal, is the most common mineral on the planet. It's the building block for almost everything else. And from there, spirit expressed itself further down the line in the animal forms, still using minerals. In the plant forms, of course, before that, and finally in man, because we are nothing more than, as somebody put it the other day, half a tub of water and two handfuls of minerals.
Mm-hmm.
So minerals are really the building block of everything, and crystals, I was fascinated from the very beginning. I knew that there was something about them that was a pull. I would go into lapidary stores and pick them up and hold them and get the feeling that there was something different about them. But as far as doing anything with them, that was a long way coming. For me, when Dale Walker, who is my teacher, wrote the Crystal Book, that was the first book ever written that really said how to do anything with them. And so that's where I started, as one of his teachers. And from there, it's just phenomenal how many different areas you can go into with them. Because we've talked about things on this show that get very practical, from the standpoint of water and gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, you must have the most famous spa in the history of California. Everywhere I go, people ask me about that story.
And, well, you've seen the spa?
Yeah, I have. And not only that, we gave you the crystal. I'm just glad to know it worked.
It does work.
No, that's funny. People still call me up and say, you know, I heard about it on the show, I tried it, and I'm surprised that it does work. But it does. People will get a very noticeable change in their spa or in their drinking water.
Certainly the drinking water.
Oh, yeah. That's very important to us. So that's really where we got started. But then we started moving into other areas, which we've never really discussed on this show. The areas of using crystal to reprogram the way we think, or to use crystals for balancing different forms of energy, which is what some people would call crystal healing.
Mm-hmm.
Or using crystals to meet spiritual guides and teachers. We have Dr. Peoples, who's been here many times,
mm-hmm.
and he'll say to the listeners, yes, this is the name of your spirit guide.
Right.
So one afternoon, we had Dr. Peoples in for a presentation, and because Heidi Ho does a number of things besides our own crystal tours. We had Dr. Peoples in, and I said to him, you know, I've listened to you say to all these people, you know, this is the name of your spirit guide, that's the name of your spirit guide, you know, for the price of a phone call, you can find out. And I finally said, isn't that a little easy? What about those people who have worked for years to get in touch with their guides? And he leaned over and he sort of giggled the way he does. And he said, you know, Ho, it may give them the name of their spirit guide, but they're not any closer to talking to them.
Yeah.
So using crystals, we have techniques for doing that.
Yeah.
There's an actual simple reason for it. When you hold a quartz crystal, your brainwave pattern changes and goes into the alpha state, which is where all the relearning is. So we've been using that for reprogramming, changing patterns, changing bad habits, getting over emotional blocks. We've done a certain amount of work with veterans and rape victims and child abuse victims to get them over the trauma of the emotions of what they've gone through. There are so many areas that when I started working on my crystal book, which is probably 3 or 4 years down the line, we had to divide it up into something like 20 different areas, which go all the way from mind, body, and spirit out to UFOs and earth elements.
It just dawned on me. I said that Paul would be here next week. Next week the Dodgers are here. It's week after next that Paul will be here. He's speaking of UFOs. If the Dodgers give us time, John Bedini will be here. And he uses crystals.
Yeah, I know.
I have in front of me this beautiful pyramid made out of a crystal and it's a marvelous color. What is it?
Amethyst? That's an amethyst. It's a purple color.
But what is amazing to me is as you put your hand over it, you feel energy coming off it. It's like a little cold breeze on your hand.
Well,
explain that to me. Why is that so?
Well, the pyramid itself, first of all, generates a certain amount of energy. That's what the pyramids were all about. And then your crystal is an amplifier, mm-hmm. so it will amplify the energy that comes off of it. Now, this is a little hard on the radio because your people can't see this, but here's the clear pyramid. I brought up 5 tonight. That's the one I brought you before that you've mentioned on the air.
Yeah, that does it too.
And that will do it, as will the rose, which is a pink color. and it's sort of a light pink. They will all do it, but the color will give them a slightly different energy feel.
There is a change. There's a difference in the energy that's coming off of them.
See, now,
as we feel them.
I feel that the rose is a lighter energy than, say, the purple amethyst. It's hard to really describe those, but it's a little lighter because it's working in a different area. The pink color really works with the emotions, the emotional field, the etheric body. The amethyst works on the spiritual levels, and it's also the great transformer, the purple color. So they will do different things, but they will all do what pyramids do, and it's sort of like the power of the pyramid times the power of the crystal.
You know, you were talking about how crystals seem to be the basic building block of everything. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Reif, who was a doctor that lived here in the Chatsworth area for a while? He developed probably the most amazing microscopes that the world has ever seen. They were superior even to the electron microscopes that we have today. There's only one of them left, and it's in the Los Angeles area. And he could look down with that microscope and see the cancer virus. And he determined, and he looked at it, and he said that it was crystal. It was a crystalline substance. And his experiments, which have been well documented, and we'll do a show on the Reif microscope here one of these days, and Dr. Reif's work, he could shatter that cancer crystal with an electronic pulse. This did upset a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And those microscopes were destroyed, and so was his work, and he died a pauper. Because he was only going to get rid of disease. Okay. We'll go into that a little bit later.
Yes.
But the story of Dr. Reif is one of the great tragedies of our time, of what society did to this man that was on the verge of making probably one of the greatest medical discoveries. The way he, in fact, he did make it. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
But then, again, illness is business. Big business.
Well, we deal with crystal as fossilized water.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a technique. I'm not going to go into too much medical things tonight because I'm not a doctor and I don't pretend to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some techniques that we've worked on with people who have various physical diseases. And when I say we, I mean crystal awareness, which is I work under Dale Walker. And Dale has his teacher, Nick Nocerino, who's also been here.
Nick will be here October 11th. Again, we'll go into the crystal skull, which perhaps we can talk about.
We can talk about that tonight. When we have a major tour scheduled this week, and we will have those pictures available so people... because we just had them up at the first International Crystal Congress in San Francisco, which, by the way, I want to thank you in the name of all those people up there because the publicity and the interest generated from this show was definitely reflected in the turnout that we had up in San Francisco.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was a marvelous turnout. Almost all the major crystal authors, Marcel Vogel was there, Rob Bonowitz, all the major people were up there doing presentations and lectures, and it was just the first time that's ever happened.
And so was the Mitchell Hedges skull.
Yes, I spent quite a bit of time with that.
Well, there's a little bit of something for us to kind of let you whet your appetite on. We'll talk about crystals. We have Ho here, who certainly is as conversant with them as anyone in the world. We can talk about the crystal skull. And I'll point you to October 11th when Nick Nocerino will be back to go further into that fascinating, fascinating artifact. Probably one of the most fascinating, if not the most fascinating artifact on the planet today. But certainly Master Ho has dealt with it. He knows about it. You can talk to him on that. And let me give you the numbers. If you're ready to talk crystals, we are in Los Angeles, if you wish. Certainly UFOs. Ho is with me. Lectures all over the country. Certainly well-known here in the Southern California area. He's with Heidi Ho Enterprises, and they are always stirring up something over there to enlighten you and invigorate you.
We try.
And make you a better person, perhaps. All right, Martha, welcome.
Yes. I went to a crystal, you know, seminar type thing, and I bought about three crystals, and I put them in my jacuzzi, and I had no response. I mean, it was still, you know, algae and still, you know, all that, even though I kept it...
Well, you still have to put the little ion coagulants in the water. You know, the Spa Bright and the Spa Defender?
Yeah. Well,
you're still putting that in, aren't you?
Well, the chlorine or whatever, you know.
No, not the chlorine. This is the stuff, the blue stuff that's in the bottle and light blue stuff. You have to do that. Because if you don't, the stuff that is in the water naturally, like dirt and stuff off your body whenever you get in there, and minerals. Just go right through the filter. So you put the coagulants in, which is what they call Spa Bright and Spa Defender. You have to do that because the crystal is killing the algae, but if the algae is not being trapped in your filter, you're going to have mucky water.
Well, I was just concerned because I put them in. You know, I went to this seminar and I put them in, and I thought, well, you know what, the algae is going to be dissolved. And it just absolutely wasn't.
No, it absolutely is.
And I was very disappointed.
Now, Martha, did you pick up what we would call points, or did you pick up clusters?
No, it was like a long bar.
Okay, that's what we call a crystal point. And sometimes, you see, you have to understand something.
No.
This has not been scientifically proven. We don't have the facilities at this point with crystal work to be able to go in and do lots and lots of tests and go back and forth and come up with lots of answers. Some of these things seem to work, and we're not always sure why. And that's why when sometimes, on occasion, maybe one out of every 10 people it won't work for, we are not always sure why. But one thing that we've come up with is that a cluster, you see, with a point, the energy is coming off of the point, and it's like having one hose of energy.
Yes.
But with a cluster, it's like having lots of little points, so it's like having a fountain.
But, ho, it's no fun to sit on one of those in the spa.
No, it's not. And so we came up with something that may be...
But I have three.
Right.
One long one and two little ones.
Right. And if you put them in the spa, you may get some much of a change. What I'm suggesting is that if you put in clusters in its place, you have more crystal points causing more activity.
Okay, now where do I get the clusters?
Okay, but let me go back one second because there's another thing I want to mention because Bill brought up a very important point. Not only is it not nice to sit on one of those clusters, it also isn't very nice to stand on them because they can be sharp and you can get the bottoms of your feet cut. So what we've been doing is we've taken crystal and we're crushing it down so it's in lots of little pieces and then tumbling it so it's smooth and putting, say, two or three tablespoons of this material into the toe of a stocking. And then when you tie it off, the crystal, the water can go through the crystal and get all that energy, but you're not going to stand on the crystal and cut yourself. Because we're very concerned about small children and animals.
Yes.
Do a lot of work with that, and we just don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Right.
Now, as far as where you can get that from, I don't know if most of the laboratory stores are going to be carrying the crushed tumbled quartz, but we will have
could
some...
I could crush it with a hammer or something, couldn't
Well,
I?
You can crush it, but then you're going to have lots of little what will look like glass chips.
Yes.
What we have is all the little chips have been smoothed, so that if they fall out of the bag again, nobody will get cut on them. And we will be having a very large crystal tour starting tomorrow. And we'll talk a little more about that later on.
Okay.
But let's also understand, Martha, that we're not saying that there's anything scientific about this. I'm just saying I've had a crystal in my spa for 5 years, and I don't use it for
leave. I heard you say that.
And it
works for me.
And so I instantly put it in there and because, you know, hey.
But you have to put the coagulants in. Go to your spa store and get the Spa Bright and the Spa Defender.
Okay.
That makes your filter work. Without it, the stuff just goes right through your filter because the crystal is killing algae. And
right.
The algae has to go somewhere. And so it does. It's
well,
good. It's organizing the water and not allowing any of the little things to grow too much. Except whenever the water is agitated, then the effect of the crystal doesn't work whenever you're bubbling it. But whenever it's still, that's when it's doing its work.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Appreciate your call. Now, we have, as I believe, this is Randy that has joined us today.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
How are you? I have two brief questions. The first pertains to the situation in South America with the spottings of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a few weeks ago that possibly footage of that would be on television in some form. Did that ever happen?
Well, Paul Shepard will be here in 2 weeks.
Okay.
He's the guest for the whole show. He's the one that took the footage. I don't know exactly what he got. He did not, as I understand, get pictures of the craft themselves, but he was there right after they were, and he was with captains of industry, military leaders, and political leaders in Argentina and Brazil, as well as a number of other people. So he'll go over his... it was really quite a... I envy him.
Yeah.
I would have liked to gone and put on my Indiana Jones hat and gone down there with him.
Right. The second question pertains to a story run on CNN, I think, on Tuesday. They reported a story of a large UFO being spotted in the Midwest, actually covering most of the United States from Texas to Illinois to Washington, I believe. I don't remember exactly. And I wondered if you had any further information. The government reported it as being a natural phenomenon, but CNN tended to think otherwise.
Well, the government will always report anything that relates to a UFO sighting, even though an entire city may have seen it, which has happened, as swamp gas or a natural phenomenon of some kind.
Randy,
so
in one of
understand
the,
that going in.
In one of the government explanations of UFOs, there's a case that was looked at, and the final result was this case is definitely a natural occurrence that has happened so rarely that it has never been reported before or since. Okay, that's an official government explanation.
Right. Right. So, but neither one of you have heard any more than what I know of it, correct?
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. We have another phenomenon that happens in the news media, and that is that a rear-ender on the San Diego freeway is far more important and interesting to the news editors of the local news outlets and television outlets than a massive sighting all over the United States of this strange craft.
Right. Well, I wish they were further reported because people like myself are interested in knowing more about...
We'll try to update you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Randy. Appreciate your call very much. And we have Barbara on the line. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm just fine.
I really enjoy your show. I listen every week.
I enjoy having you aboard.
Thank you. I'd like to ask your guest if he ever used crystals to heal viral diseases.
We use crystals. I have to be very careful how I phrase this now, Barbara. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you use the word heal, you get some people all up in arms and bent out of shape.
Right, I know.
So let me phrase this the way I would phrase it in a open class situation, which is that we use crystals to help balance out the imbalances of the body, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think the belief of most people in fields that are predominantly metaphysical is that disease happens when there's a form of emotional or mental imbalance, and when that isn't corrected, eventually it manifests in some physical way. For example, people, I'll just give you a quickie one. I know a lady who's just recently hurt her foot rather badly, and it has to do with going forward in life and starting to make some changes. And I've seen that happen with a number of people who are just on the verge of making an important change in their life, and whoopo, they bang their toes, they trip over things, they slam into chairs, and next thing you know is they're all laid up. And it's got to do with their own apprehensions. Now, there are certainly scientific things that happen, medical things that happen that cause illness, but we are finding in this field that there are some very unusual psychological things that cause illness, and that's where we do most of our work. Balancing the energy fields around the body, what psychics would call the aura, what scientists would call the bioenergy field of the body, balancing it out and fixing the imbalances that way.
Now, do you use this crystal that you have in your presence, or is it in water? Or?
Well, when we get to a point that we start going into different areas of crystal use, we try to have different crystals for different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you have different kinds of knives when you sit down at a table or work in a kitchen.
Right.
And I have, and what I suggest to my students have, is not only two clear points, that's the long bar-type crystals to work with,
mm-hmm.
and then we work with something called the four-color healing stones, which are a piece of rose crystal, which is the pink, a piece of amethyst, which is the purple, the blue, which is lapis lazuli for the mental levels, and green for the physical. It's called green quartz. And we have a technique that we teach in the crystal healing workshop, and we actually give those crystals out as part of the workshop.
And you will be giving more information about that?
We will definitely, in the second hour, talk all about the tour and the crystal healing workshop.
Sure, we'll let you know about that.
Great, thank you so much. Thank you.
I'll tell you something unscientific here, Barbara.
Okay.
My wife wears a crystal around her neck. Dale gave it to her, a beautiful crystal. And she got a wart. Now, you know, a lady doesn't want to have a wart.
No.
Right? So she just rubbed the wart with the crystal that Dale gave her that she wears all the time. And guess what happened to the wart?
It went away.
It went away.
Wonderful.
Now, nobody cut it. Sorry, Doc. Couldn't use the knife on it. It just went away. Now, that's unscientific, but that is... an observation of a journalist and a newsman.
That sounds wonderful.
I happen to know that the wart went away when she rubbed it with the crystal.
Well, keep up the good work, both of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Bye-bye. Glad to have you aboard. It's Open Mind tonight. With me is Ho. We're talking crystals.
Hello. I'm fascinated. I have been listening to KABC ever since they went talk years ago.
Well, good
and
for you.
I've never heard this show before.
Where have you been, Bert? It's
I
only
don't
been on
know.
The air since 1979.
I thought I knew everything about KABC.
See,
but tell me, what are crystals? Where do you get them? What is it?
All right, go for it.
Okay, what are crystals? Crystals are a life form in the mineral kingdom. When Bill started off this evening mentioning that crystals are alive, I thought that was marvelous because that is one of the most important things to me. Crystals are a life form and need to be treated as such. And they grow in the mineral kingdom. The whole planet is made out of crystals. Life is, it's the building block of life or minerals. Every time you exhale, you breathe crystals. You exhale crystals. And we've been using them to try and help balance out imbalance both in man and the planet. That's a general answer to your question about what they are. As far as where you can get them, nowadays you can get them in a lot of different places. A lot of bookstores have them. The metaphysical New Age bookstores and centers have them. And we will be having a very, very large display of crystals. In fact, it'll be the largest display of crystals ever on any tour that we've ever sponsored. And we are simply presenting this to listeners of Open Mind. It has not been advertised to anyone except to them. And we're going to have some free lectures and some pictures of the crystal skulls to look at and a whole bunch of things. And we'll talk about that in the next hour in detail.
Well, I'll continue to listen because I'm fascinated.
Stay with it.
Well, I'm fascinated, Verta, that you've missed the show all these years.
So am I. I can't believe it.
Well, now you know to stay up on Saturday night.
Thank you.
What have you been doing on Saturday night, Verta?
Go to sleep, mostly.
Oh.
Early to bed, early to rise.
Well, not on Saturday night, huh?
I'll try not to, Mel.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. She's cute. Okay, Linda, you're on.
Yeah, I would like to ask your guest a question. He referred to using crystals for reprogramming in the alpha state. And I would like to hear him talk about that, and I'll hang up and listen on the radio.
Well, you can stay on the air. Stay with us, because I'll answer it generally.
Okay.
And then if you have a more specific question, I'll take that, too. We have found two things happen when a person holds a quartz crystal for a few moments. The first is that they begin to feel relaxed, and that's very good for chiropractors, people who do massage, because the person begins to relax and that level of resistance is gone. The other thing that happens is that the brainwave pattern goes from beta, which is your normal wake state level, into alpha. And that is where all the reprogramming takes place. That's the level of, that's the first state of hypnosis. It's the lightest level of sleep. It's the level where you can begin to reprogram the mind. And from there, we work in two different areas. One that I simply call reprogramming, which deals with old habits. I'll tell you a story about that in a second. And the other, which is more of the psychic type of work. And I think that if there's a line between them, it's very thin, but some people see a very major line between them, so that's how we break it down. And just as an example of some of the kind of work that's been done, I'll take a story that Dale tells us about a young lady that wasn't so young. She was in her 60s. And she had been bitten by a dog when she was very young, and she was very frightened of dogs. And so using a crystal technique that we have, we went inside the crystal with her, and we reprogrammed the way she responded to dogs. We changed the way she remembered that thing happening. We didn't change the facts of it, you understand. What we changed was the way she emotionally responded. Now, we assume when we work on one-to-one with somebody that it's going to take 3 or 4 times before we're going to really get some sort of a change. But in this case, what happened is they walked out of the building, and as fate would have it, there was a huge Doberman running up and down the street without a leash. And almost as if this dog knew her, he ran up to her, jumped up on his hind legs, put the two front legs on this lady's shoulders, and everyone there thought this lady was going to pass out. She leaned down, pet the dog on the head, and it was over. That was all there was. She was fine. Now, not everybody gets that quicker result, but most people can do the exercises because they are very simple, and all you have to do is relax the mind. The crystal is a big help in that way.
Is there a particular crystal that is used for this kind of programming?
Not necessarily. There are certainly crystals that might be better for some individuals than others, depending on a half a dozen different factors. But the large, clear points really are fine for this kind of work. And we find that if people are attracted to something else, there's usually a good reason for it. The different colors have different properties, work in different areas, and get different responses. So if somebody is pulled towards a different color, let's say a pink color, we can pretty much determine that they have a need for some emotional type of work, as opposed to, say, if they pick one of the mental stones, which would be the citrine or the lapis.
Okay.
But again, we're speaking very generally now, because everybody is a different individual, and everybody has different different responses to different things.
Very good.
Okay, does that help you now,
Linda? Yeah, that's fine.
All right, thank you very much for checking in with us here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do believe that we have to backtrack here a little bit.
Okay.
In the commercial that we ran for our good friends over at Alexandria 2 bookstore,
mm-hmm.
We evidently had the wrong date on your appearance over there. You're going to be on Friday, right?
We're going to be there Friday doing a class on... Okay, we're going to be there Friday doing a class on psychic development using crystals.
I think I said Saturday on the
And I think you said Saturday. It's definitely Friday
definitely
at 7:30.
Friday. Right. And Victoria, I'm Ralph, I'm sorry we got it wrong, but we've corrected it here, okay? We'll be back to our callers. We'll be talking about crystals with Ho. I'm Bill Jenkins.
I need to mention it now, which is that we've brought together all our crystal dealers for a display of crystals that is just wild. It's the largest display of crystals we've ever had on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be tomorrow, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday from 11 to 11 at the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel in Studio City. And on Sunday and Monday, I'll be doing free lectures at 2 and at 7:30 on the use of crystals and answering questions. And then Tuesday, we have a very special lecture, which we'll be taping for our crystal cassette tapes on crystals and releasing emotional blocks.
The tapes, by the way, I have thoroughly enjoyed them. You
oh,
did an
thank you.
Excellent job on those.
This is actually the first time we've got them into all the local stores. But we've never really announced them at all. We were going to do that tonight. So here they are, folks. Three tapes on crystals.
Well, Dee Dee, we'll be glad to tell you about that when you call it.
Absolutely.
Right. Let's go to Ann, who is on the line here. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Well, I'm fine.
I listen to your show every week when the Dodgers aren't playing. The way they're playing, they might as well not be on.
Oh, come on now. They're going to pull it out.
I hope so.
They did it today.
Maybe we should give them all a crystal.
There's an idea.
That's an idea.
What I wanted to ask you, I went to the Alexandra lecture with Master Ho the last time he was there, and I got a cluster of crystals to put in the refrigerator, like you said, and it didn't work. What did I do wrong?
Okay, let's go through the steps again. What we're doing is we're getting a cluster,
uh-huh.
which is lots of little points, and putting it on the top shelf of the refrigerator.
Right, I did that.
And then we are slowly turning the thermostat down.
Oh.
Because, you see, if you do it immediately, it's just too sudden a change. You have to slowly turn it down.
Oh. Do I have to... Any kind of a ritual or...
No. Let's get the mysticism
water
out.
Or something?
No, we try to keep rituals down to a very, very low rumble. No, you just put it in there... And slowly turn the thing down, and you should find that you can keep turning it down.
Oh.
Well, what happened to me, Ann, when Dale gave me my crystal, he said, stick it in your refrigerator.
Right.
And when I got home at 12:30, I did dutifully stick it in the refrigerator and forgot about it.
Right.
Until that afternoon when I went into the refrigerator to get a bottle of beer.
Yeah, and it was frozen?
It was frozen.
Mine didn't.
And I said, I remember. And so I've really had to turn it back. And I have one of those great big, you know, two-door refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always running, and you can see the gas meter. I mean, the meter outside, not the gas meter.
Mine is like that, too.
Sometimes it thinks it's a helicopter, I believe. And so I was very, very happy to have it in there.
You know what else is strange, Ann, is that since we did it, we've been doing it for 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have milk that would go bad every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, that part I noticed was that I could leave a... crack the milk in there for 2 weeks, and it's just as fresh as the day I put it in there.
Isn't that amazing?
And the vegetables don't seem to go south on you, do they?
No. I got a tomato that's about a week old that's still good.
I wouldn't say it was the crystal that was doing that. It just happened to start happening after you put the crystal in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, does it make any difference what kind of a... I have amethyst crystals. Is that any different than a clear one?
There is a difference between them, but it won't affect what's happening in your refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
The difference between them gets important when we start talking about spiritual things or what we call crystal healing or energy balancing. But your refrigerator doesn't know the difference, and they both work beautifully.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Ann.
It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins with a special crystal. You want to join us for that? Come on in, then. We will be going into it in detail on October 11th when Nick Massarino gets here again. But it is the fascinating crystal skull. Explain to me the crystal skull, Ho.
Oh, boy. The crystal skull has got to be the ninth wonder of the world, and explaining the crystal skull is a marvelously fun but complex task. Basically, for those people who have not heard anything about it, the crystal skull is a piece of quartz, which it weighs, I think it's about 5 pounds, and it is anatomically shaped in the form of a human skull. It is anatomically perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking about, in particular, the Mitchell Hedges skull. There are other crystal skulls. Nick believes that there are about 13, but they've located 8 to 10. I say that because just as I was leaving San Francisco, we got word that they'd found a couple more. And I haven't heard anything about that yet, so I can't speak about where.
And these were all found in the same general area, in Central America. Central America and Mexico.
Right. But the Mitchell Hedges skull was found by Anna Mitchell Hedges in 1927. And nobody knows how it was made. To this day, we couldn't really duplicate it with all the equipment and technology that we have. And it's always been considered a wonder of the world. Some people refer to it as the Skull of Doom, and you see it in a number of different museums, or you find it in books occasionally. But no one's really been able to crack the secret of the skull, what it is, how it was made. And then Nick and his group have been working with them for quite a while, and using something that we call scrying, which is crystal gazing, we've been able to see certain things in there that only complicate the issue. Those things being UFOs and mermaids, animal-man mixtures,
mm-hmm.
Groups of people wearing unusual outfits that some people might call space outfits.
Amazing.
It really is. And the more time you spend with the skull and the more time you look at the photographs and things, the more amazing it really gets.
Well, the thing of it here is that you can look at the skull, and whenever you first come into its presence, and it's just a crystal skull sitting there. But then as you look at it, all of this imagery starts playing before your eyes. And quite mm-hmm. often you're watching, it looks like the geological formation of the planet Earth and the movement of the continents around.
Now, that's what Nick was talking about.
Right.
And we have to explain something, because what's happened is that people come down to see the skull or to see the pictures, and they don't see that right off.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to explain is that Nick has seen those things because Nick has locked himself into rooms with the crystal skull for days on end
mm-hmm.
where he's had the opportunity. And most people, through either a photograph or 5 or 10 minutes with the skull, don't have a chance to see all of that.
Right.
But, yes, if you spend some time with it, because we have certainly spent a lot of time looking at slides and photographs, and I've spent quite a bit of time with the skull when I was in San Francisco. And you can certainly begin to see those things in there. And you do see the changes in the Earth and the geological changes that go on. And
it'll also play back things that are in your own consciousness from your own childhood.
The skull, if I phrase it this way, I don't know, I may confuse some people, but the skull acts like a mini computer.
Yeah.
And it puts information out and it takes information in. It's my belief, now this is an opinion, but it's my belief it takes in a lot more than it puts out.
It could be.
While you're reading it, it is reading you. And we've definitely had people experience that and say that they could feel that happening.
Nick was also telling us that it has another amazing property with photographs. You can take pictures of the pictures that it's showing, and your pictures then, after they have been made into photographs, change.
Yes. Now, we have seen this with both the photographs and with the slides. And I think it happens faster with a slide, because with a slide you have light going through it, which is an energy change. But even in the photographs, you can still, if you take a few minutes, and it really, it's people that expect, when you talk about, I'll tell you about a phone call I just had this week, people expect things a little differently or a little more magically than they happen. I had somebody call me up that was talking about crystal balls and thought that all you do is sit in front of the ball and suddenly it plays you a movie. And it's not quite that simple. There's a certain amount of discipline that you, as the crystal ball reader, have to go through, and a certain amount of patience. You have to give it a certain amount of time. But once you devote that little bit of time to it, yes, the whole world opens up to you. And it mentally, just as holding a crystal will change the mental state, the crystal skull is, to my mind, and to the people I've dealt with it, it's very much alive in the standpoint that it does transfer information back and forth. People get tremendous feelings from it. Anna Mitchell Hedges, or Sammy is her nickname, has told us about different things that have happened in terms of what we would call crystal healings. I think it is probably one of the most remarkable things on the planet. And, you know, I know your listeners know about these things because they listen to the Gladdens and they listen to Patrick Flanagan and things. But I get very frustrated because what seems to happen is the establishment will say, this is the way something worked. Man appeared on the earth, 10 million years ago or something,
whatever.
And that's it. And then they turn around, and when they find fossils, I have a list of 40 fossils that show things like sandal prints with dinosaur prints. And science says, well, we don't know what that is, so we'll just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And here with the crystal skull, it's the same thing. It's just something that no one seems to know much about.
You would think that the great aerospace firms, the great universities, would want to study the crystal skulls because they are a phenomenon and they are real. They
mm-hmm.
are documented. They are a fact. But academia doesn't want to deal with that.
No, and it's unfortunate because we get people who are in those organizations that come to us and sort of pull us aside and say, you know, this is what I work with, and the people I work with probably wouldn't appreciate my being here. So that will happen. It's unfortunate that you have to go through that to get some of this information.
Okay. Well, we just thought we'd touch on the crystal skull. There may be some of you that would want to ask more about it. It is a phenomenon.
And one of the things that we will do is we will bring out the photographs that were shown in San Francisco, and we'll have them for display. Again, it's a free thing, so there's no admission to see it. And you can just come down and look at the photographs all you want.
I've watched the photographs, and I watched them change. And it's not like looking at clouds where you see one thing in a cloud and I see another. I mean, it's a changing that goes on in a photograph. Try that one on. Okay, Brad, you're on.
Yes, I'm curious. Is it ever necessary to recharge crystals? And the reason I ask is one time I put a crystal in a glass of water and put it in the refrigerator, and it did freeze. However, I went to dazzle my friends with this feat, and nothing happened. And I'm curious. I've also heard that placing it in salt water is a method of recharging. I just wonder if that's true.
Well, first, let's start with the salt water first. When Dale and I were first teaching about crystals, we told people to put them in salt or in salt water because we felt that that was what you might call a foolproof system. There are better ways to recharge a crystal than that. First of all, salt does not recharge a crystal at all. Salt actually stops the action within the crystal and slows it down. It's what you might call a neutralizing or a cleansing of the crystal. It does not charge it. Putting energy into a crystal charges it. And to do that, you could either put it in the sun, which takes a certain amount of time, or you could do a mental exercise where you can visualize light going into the crystal. Or you could do something even simpler, which we mentioned once before on this station, and that is the light invocation. And the light invocation is three sentences.
I think I know this.
I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide. And that three sentences, if you hold the crystal and say it three times, actually will balance out the energies of the crystal.
Now, we don't know why.
No,
what it is about those words. Don't want to be mystic with you, but maybe it's just in the mantra, maybe it's in the chant, maybe it's in the energy.
Well, we believe it's in the thought form, but again, there's really no way to prove that. And as Bill stressed, and I want to stress, I try very hard. I do teach some classes which could be called mystical, but when it comes to crystals, I try very hard to stay away from mystical things, keep it fairly middle of the road, and fairly logical. Because, you see, it's not... If you understand that what we're doing is taking crystals and using them the same way science uses them, to amplify energy, the same way they do it in radio and television, or to focus energy as in lasers, or to transform it the same way they use them in solar panels, what we're doing is we're using those same properties, but we're using them with people instead of machinery. And unfortunately, people are a little harder to measure. And so that falls into what we call metaphysics.
So you wouldn't be hearing us tonight if it weren't for a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
We did that at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a nice crystal back there, Big Blue, who is our transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good guy.
Now the reason you would want to recharge a crystal, I mean, there could be a number of reasons. You might want to boost the energy level of it. But we talk about recharging when we talk about wearing them. Because one of the properties of crystal is to store information. That's why they're used in computer chips. And what will happen is a crystal will store, one that you're wearing, will store all the emotions in it that you go through. So, for example, let's say that you had a crummy ride home on the freeway and told the guy behind you or in front of you exactly how you thought he drove. You might want to get home and just take a moment to clear that crystal of the energies so that you don't carry that round with you all the time.
I think it'd probably be a good idea not to wear them on the freeway.
It may be an idea, too, yes.
Could you put them in salt water in that case?
Yeah, in that case, what it will do is it will neutralize the energies and bring it back. But that you have to do overnight. That takes, you know, roughly 8 hours, let's say. This is a 30-second thing that you can just, you say it, and it'll do it.
And how often are you, or should you do this? Or is there a set criteria on something like that?
The crystal that I wear, I do every morning when I get up. Actually, I take them off when I get into the shower. Not that you have to, but I do. And when I put them back on, I take all of 30 seconds to clear them.
Every time you file them up, you ought to clear them, I guess you say.
Yeah.
So that means you're doing the invocation just all the time.
And I do it any time I put crystals in anything that I'm going to ingest, such as near my food or into my water. I would clear it then, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you
very much, Brett.
Goodbye.
Glad to have you aboard.
Thank you.
And we have Howard.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Say about a year and a half ago, I think it was, you had, I believe, one of the first crystal broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very interested, obviously, in specifically in two types of crystals. One was for the refrigeration, of course, and then the second was for clarifying water. I live on a boat, and clear water is always a problem. For storing any length of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the refrigeration, of course, requires power to run the refrigerator, so obviously a crystal would be totally advantageous to reduce that power consumption. I got the book and I bought the two crystals of each type, and over the last year and a half, nothing has happened.
Whoa.
And I don't know whether I was one of those 1 in 10, but I've tried everything. I've recharged it in the sunlight. I've cleaned it in the salt water, you name it. I've tried it, but nothing has happened. Now, the refrigerator, of course, Master Ho, I believe you sent to me a cluster of a little purple segment.
Amethyst cluster.
So, and the refrigerator, the size is 1.5 cubic feet. It's right up in the very top. I've tried it at the very bottom. I've tried it in the middle. I've tried it.
Howard, occasionally, there's a couple of things here. First of all, 1 out of every 10 people, it doesn't work for, and we don't know why. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with belief, because I could sit here and tell you stories forever about people who didn't believe it would work, and it worked. So it doesn't seem to have anything to do with belief. But for some reason, occasionally it doesn't happen. Now, one of the things that we caught on to is that some of the newer, higher, the models that are at the higher end of the line, some of them have some sort of self-regulatory thermostats in them. So you don't really notice the difference. What happens is that as time goes on, you get your electrical bill, and perhaps your electrical bill is lower. It's something that you don't actually sense because the unit, you know, has a balancing thermostat in it. So some people have had that happen to them.
Well, let me, while you're right there, let me inject this, if I may. The refrigerator unit that we have, as I say, I live on a boat,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we generate our own electricity. It is basically a 12-volt system. It runs for 30 minutes and is off for 30 minutes. That's a normal duty cycle, okay? And it has to maintain at least approximately 40 degrees to, you know, keep the food even reasonably safe
mm-hmm.
and cold.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed in that. In other words, the unit still runs 30 minutes and off 30 minutes. It is.
And the refrigerator isn't getting any colder.
That's correct. Uh-huh. It's basically nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. And whether, as you say, I'm a 1 in 10 that maybe I got a bad crystal, or whether I'm doing something wrong, perhaps you can advise.
Well, the only thing I can advise, first of all, I don't think that there's such a thing as a bad crystal. I would charge the crystal the way we described before. That might be one thing. And the only other thing I can suggest is try it again, put it in the top shelf. And do you have a thermostat in there that you can turn up and down?
Oh, well, no. Well, I do, but it's not a thermostat per se. It only lengthens the cycle time.
It may have something to do with the unit itself, then.
Oh, well, so your regulator, then, is regulating cycle time. It's not regulating temperature, then.
That's correct. In other words, the longer it runs, the colder the unit's going to get.
Well, if your refrigerator got down to its 40 degrees and it did it in 10 minutes, would it keep on running 30 minutes anyway?
No, no.
It stopped. It would turn it off. Yeah.
Now, I also, when we were living in the apartment, of course, I tried to stay in the standard home-type refrigerator, and it didn't do anything there. Because I thought maybe, because I had initially brought it to the boat, and that didn't happen, so I took it home and to the apartment and ran it there.
And you put it on the top shelf of the refrigerator?
Oh, yes.
And you turn the thermostat down slowly? Gee, I don't know. Like I said, one out of every 10 people, it gets crazy, it doesn't happen, and we don't know why.
There's something about you and crystals, Howard.
Yeah, Howard.
Yeah, it could be, but I'm thoroughly for, and I believe in the capabilities of it. Psychologically, perhaps, I am totally in agreement with it. But it's just, both of these crystals, each for its own application.
Well, now, with the water one, we do a presentation, and I've done it every night now for 5 years. I wouldn't put this up in front of, hundreds of people a night if I didn't think I knew it was going to work. But we've done that where we've taken two glasses of tap water or, say, a bottled water. Tap water, it's easier to taste the difference because tap water has such a marvelous taste all by itself. But
it does.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it have that marvelous metal taste that everybody likes with the ammonia and chlorine?
I haven't tasted it in a long time.
Well, I don't drink that either anymore now. I drink the bottled waters and I put the crystal in it. But I'll share a story with you that a student called up and told me 2 days ago, and he said, if you want to say it, you can. So this student, whose name is Daniel, had a plastic bottle. He was on a camping trip in the desert. Had a plastic bottle of water with a crystal in it. And make a long story short, he lost the bottle, came home, went back 80 days later, and the bottle was still there. Now, it'd been baking in the sun in plastic. You know what water with plastic tastes like. And he opened the bottle, and he passed around to all his friends, and everybody said it was the most refreshing water they'd ever had. There was no plastic taste at all. And I can tell you that being a earthquake-conscious Californian now, Sam, I'm from Boston, where we don't really get earthquakes. We get blizzards, so I'm being trained in earthquake preparedness, and we have lots of bottles of water at the house with plastic, and we have crystals in each one of them, and sometimes those bottles will sit. We had bottles sit there for about a year and a half, and when we finally opened them up and used them, you couldn't taste any plastic at all. The water tasted just delightful. So maybe it's your water, Howard.
That's a possibility.
But if you come on down, we'll do the water test with you and see if we can get you to see a difference. Because
the only thing that I have noticed on the one crystal that is for the water purification, that's about an inch, I would say an inch and an eighth, roughly in diameter and approximately 2 inches long.
Right.
It's clear. And there's no color to it. If I hold it for any length of time, it does absorb a tremendous amount of heat. It actually is warmer than the heat that I'm putting into it, body temperature, if you will. It will be higher than my body temperature.
Mm-hmm. And your hand will start to perspire, correct?
Yeah, it does get pretty warm.
Yeah. Yeah, we have people hold them during some of the lectures, and sometimes it's very funny to see people just take the thing out and dry their hands on the side of their pants or something and put it back and look at their hands and go, that's strange, a rock shouldn't do that.
So I know it does absorb, a certain percentage of energy, but it just is not dissipating that energy, I guess, in the manner that I am looking for.
I think we need to rework those crystals or do something to them somehow.
Retune them. Now, that's something else I was going to ask quite seriously. If, much like any crystal that you have, Bill, or any in radio broadcasting, you have to tune that crystal to the frequency that you're trying to...
That's right. Now, if it doesn't come out at 790, you can't find it.
Exactly. Now, I'm just wondering if it's not a function of length that may be making this thing either work or not work.
The only answer I can give you that's going to be a coherent answer at this point is to take the crystal, hold it, think about what it is you want it to do. In fact, talk to it. Treat it like it's a living thing. Okay, and tell it what you want.
Nobody is around.
Right.
You're talking to what?
Right. Do it during the news, you see. Don't do it now while we're on the air, but during the news, try it. And take two glasses of water, put them about 6 feet apart, drop the crystal into one, and see if you can taste a difference in about 3 to 5 minutes later on. In fact, anyone at home can do that. Again, just take two glasses of tap water, put them about 6 feet apart, drop the crystal into one of them, give it 3 minutes, give it 5 minutes, and taste and smell back and forth and see if there's a difference.
Where do you, just curiosity, where do you come up with 6 feet? Is this just something that is arbitrary?
No, it's actually got to do with things that we've measured. There seems to be an effect. If you keep the glasses of water close together, the crystal can radiate enough energy to affect the other one. So 6 feet gives it a good distance. It doesn't have to be exactly 6 feet. I certainly don't need or want people running around the house with rulers and things, but just give it a good distance between them.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it might be 2 meters that may be more
accurate. Well, whatever. Yeah,
no, it's not that specific, Howard.
Okay, Howard.
Very good. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Howard.
We need to solve his crystal problem there somehow.
I think so. We'll have to see if we can help him.
You're on Open Mind tonight. With me is Ho. We're talking.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You have a fantastic show. I really like it.
Well, thank you.
I've tapeled quite a few of them. Question I have is, I have about a 7-pound nickel iron meteorite that's comprised of, I think they're nickel iron crystals. And I just wondered, do they have any properties, or is it just the quartz that has the properties that you're talking about?
Well, the properties that we're talking about are specifically quartz. There are definitely other gems and stones and minerals and irons and metals that have different properties. We're really focusing on the quartz. As far as a meteorite goes, if I said to you, well, it carries all the energies of outer space, I don't know if you can work with that, but that's what I'm going to say to you.
Well, I put it under my bed a few times. I've had some interesting dreams. So.
Whoa.
I would bet that could happen.
Yeah. One other question to Bill.
Yeah.
Does Grace Coveney still have her tree?
I think she does. You know, I haven't talked to Grace in a year, I guess.
I went out to... I did see it. It's quite interesting.
The tree is... for those who don't know, Grace Coveney is a delightful lady. She's been on the show a couple of times. She's a psychic lady. And I guess it's 8 or 9 years ago now, she went down and got a Christmas tree. Like we all do at Christmas time, put the little crossboards on the bottom of it and set it up on the little crossboards, didn't have the little water thing underneath it. And it refused to stop smelling nice, and it refused to die. And it's
maybe
been there for years.
Maybe there's a crystal inside it somewhere.
I don't know.
What an interesting thought, though.
But the Christmas tree, I think, is still there. And they've had all kinds of people trying to say that Grace is changing the Christmas tree around. And, of course, she's not going to do that at all.
No.
She's had some marvelous experiences with it. I have been there. I have seen the tree. I saw it when it had been there about 5 years, and it was still there. The outer needles were getting a little dry and brown, but they were soft.
And it's still fragrant, too.
And it's still fragrant.
Yeah.
And I doubt if she is squirting something on it to make it fragrant. In fact, I can just tell you she's not.
After 5 years, I couldn't think of anything she could squirt on it that would make it
so. So it's another one of those amazing things that can't be done, but nevertheless it is. She's out in Calabasas.
That's right.
Grace Coveney.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate it. And your guest.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Good night.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
And we have Barbara. Hi.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you and Hope?
So far, so good, except for Howard.
Oh.
Howard and his crystal.
Oh, okay.
We're working on it, Howard.
Yeah. Bill, I heard you mention that your wife wears a crystal necklace.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, does it produce any special kind of energy while wearing it? And I guess it must be of the quartz crystal.
Oh, it is a quartz crystal. It's a pendant, really.
Yeah.
That Dale Walker gave her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of energy. But then again, she always has had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I cannot say. You'd have to talk to Evelyn if she has experienced. She hasn't really related that it did anything unusual. She just loves it other than get rid of her wart.
Yeah. Mm. I remember years ago, I had a beautiful crystal necklace. Of course, I only bought it because it was so pretty and it had so many colors, you know, that used to bounce off it. I'm sorry now that I hear about these crystals, but I never did keep that crystal necklace. But I was just wondering, I know recently I saw crystal necklaces in one of the stores, and if my memory serves me right, I believe they said it came from Austria. Now, would that have to be a special kind of crystal, or could it have been lead crystal?
No, if it was an Austrian crystal, it was lead crystal or glass.
Oh,
Austrian crystal, lead crystal, Vienna crystal, they sell it now as melted quartz, anything to get it off the shelves. It's not quartz. It is glass, and it has lead in it. And what happens is that the body doesn't want lead on it.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really want glass on it, and it weakens the energy field or the aura. When you wear a quartz piece, an actual natural quartz, it amplifies the energy around the body. And this can be demonstrated both through Curlian photography or through various forms of other types of measurements, we've demonstrated that you can increase the aura or the auric field or the bioenergy field around the body. And some people feel that they get a lot more energy from it, that they've stayed a lot healthier. I know I have a lot of mothers who have come to me and said that they've had their children wearing quartz and they don't get flus and colds anymore. So there's definitely a change. And when we do this presentation and the free lectures on Sunday, Monday, we will definitely demonstrate what happens when you wear quartz.
Well, then if I were to, let's say, for example, if I were to buy a crystal necklace, would it specify the type of crystal that is in that necklace, or do they just refer to it as crystal and that's it?
Well, usually what they're doing is they'll say Austria or Vienna crystal. Sometimes they'll say lead crystal. No, the markings are not always so obvious, and you really have to be an intelligent consumer and keep an eye out for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have done a lot of conventions where people will come up to me and show me something and say that they were told it was natural quartz, and it isn't. And it's just that sometimes the people running the stores don't even know what they're buying. So we're talking about the natural quartz.
So that crystal actually is never made of glass. It's glass, I guess, all by itself is also not a mineral. Or is it?
Well, glass is sand, and there's some lead in there, and they mix it all together so that you have more control over it. I'm not a scientist, and I'm not going to pretend to be. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend that I am, nor do I want to try and sit up here and throw out chemical formulas that no...
Wine, glasses, and all, they always seem to mention lead, and I suppose lead crystal is supposed to be fine.
Well, that's because, you see, it used to be a time long ago where the ancient glasses and goblets and things were actually made out of natural quartz and called crystal. But now they call it crystal the way some fast food places call it beef. It looks like beef, or it looks like crystal, but it's not. It's glass. And glass is definitely a weakening on the body.
You know how
it's great to drink from.
Yeah, but you don't want to wear it.
What's that? You don't
want to wear glass.
But you can drink what he said.
Yeah.
You know, how I happened to be at your place in the valley, I guess maybe several years ago, and I did buy three small crystals, and I did everything that, you know, they said to do about, and what you mentioned tonight about filling two glasses of water and keeping them separate, you know, at least 6 feet apart or thereabouts. And I didn't notice anything different about it. And then about the water, the one that had the crystal in it. And also, I put them in the refrigerator. I tested it that way, and nothing happened. And now that you mention it, you know, I think I put two little crystals in the refrigerator, and I guess I forgot about them. They must still be there, because I have one in front of me, and I know I bought three.
You know, when we were starting, it was very confusing for people, especially, you know, when we go back, we started off by taking our crystals into some of the psychic fairs and expos. And most people know that most average people think a psychic is crazy. Well, the psychics thought we were crazy, and it was 3 months before anybody would come near our table and say, "What the heck are you guys doing with those rocks?" So then slowly people got interested, and there was a lot of confusion. We had one lady who called us up, and I do believe that she was very sincere in wanting to have this happen. But she called us up, and she said, "I did everything you said, and it didn't work. I put my fingers in the water, and they both felt the same." And so we had to explain to her, no, you're supposed to drink the water, taste it, smell it.
Yeah, well, that's what I did.
Right. So you see, it's just a question of getting it right. But what we've done is we've been doing this now for 5 years, and most people have seen the difference. Some people, they don't have either the taste buds or the smelling apparatus to really detect the difference. In that case, we have somebody like John Bedini who analyzed Bill's water and said that, sure enough, there's a change. The molecules move closer together so that there's less room for the pollution, which would be the chlorine, the ammonia, whatever else, to be there.
Surface tension goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, this little crystal that I have, you know, the one, and I must have two of them in the refrigerator still, but obviously that didn't make a difference because I never changed the temperature.
No, that's a cluster you need, though, not 2 points.
Well, these are not even. They're like little, when you say 2 points, what do you mean by that?
No, I'm saying what you want is a cluster. A cluster looks like a little crystal city.
A little crystal
what? City. Yeah, it's an analogy. In other words, instead of having one rock with a point at one end, what you have is you have a piece of quartz that has lots of little points on it.
Yeah, that's what mine has. You know, it's kind of uneven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what you mean by a cluster.
Looks like a little
right.
sea urchin.
yes. It's, you know, well, not really like a sea urchin. It's not that long.
Yeah.
But it has the different sides to it. Now I just dropped it, and I think it fell on the floor. But I know it isn't clear looking like you would expect. Just from the word crystal, to be very clear.
Well, most crystals aren't really clear. They're some milky, and they've got little things in them, and those clusters usually are not. They're kind of white and pretty,
right.
And all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I hope all this helped you, Barbara.
Okay, Bill.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I enjoy your program.
I enjoy having you aboard.
Thank you a lot.
It's Open Mind.
Yes.
Poe is with me on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 79 KABC.
Okay.
Dee Dee is manning the phones right now with some of our staff, and the number there at Heidi Ho Enterprises is 818-761-0945. And she can answer some questions, and we will certainly spend as much time on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at the Sportsman's Lodge answering as many questions as we can. When we had Dale in last time, you know, we have put Dale and Nick Nocerino on tour here in Los Angeles, and the last time we were in, we had such a marvelous response from this show that we honestly, with all the staff and merchandise we brought in, didn't have enough. It was just, there were people waiting online all day. We have made sure that will not happen again.
Crystals are a hot item.
They really are. We have a competent, trained staff to answer questions. I will be there most of the time. I will also be lecturing at 2 o'clock and at 7:30. And we have points, jewelries, clusters. Of course, we have the tapes, which are out there now. We're going to have a 200-pound cluster there. We have giant geodes. We have really gone to all our crystal people and asked them to support us in this, and they have come through with everything. And, of course, the crystal skull pictures and the lectures. And
the marvelous crystal skull pictures. You've got to see those.
It is something
the
special.
Things that happen before your very, very eyes.
So that will be at the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. The crystal sales are from 11 to 11, and the lectures are at 2 o'clock and at 7:30. Except on Tuesday, I'm going to be taping another one of our crystal tapes. That will be on reducing emotional blocks, releasing emotional blocks. That's a $10 lecture at 7:30. Then we are going to be in Orange on Thursday at the Quality Inn on Brookhurst. This is for all the people who cannot get down to Los Angeles. We will be there from 11 to 11 with a lecture at 7:30. And then Friday, the Alexandra 2 doing psychic development at 7:30. And then finally next weekend, the Crystal Healing Workshop, which is everything you wanted to know about crystals and more.
And, of course, they can fill you in all of particulars.
All of that on 818-761-0945. And please be patient because there is only one line.
All right.
But we'll take those calls.
As soon as they can. And we'll get to Eric here in just a moment. That's Western Medical Center in Anaheim, 714.
Good evening.
Hello, Eric.
I think that Master Ho and I spoke before, some time ago. I was becoming quite interested in mandalas. And, in fact, I wanted to tell you that I now have a mandala group, and we're producing some mandalas and getting ready to do a project with AIDS patients.
Ooh,
I remember when you were on talking to Dale when he was here last
time.
Right. With Dale. Okay. Yes, well, now, I wanted to ask you, among the people who are going to be at who are going to be selling crystals and related things tomorrow, does anyone have the crushed and tumbled crystals that you were speaking of for use in the spas? And especially, do they have them in colors? Do they have, for example, like lapis or things of that kind?
Well, first of all, yes, we have them. And we do have them in packages. And no, we do not have them in colors. The only thing we have it in right now is clear. But the key here is that because it's in clear, just like white light's a mixture of all colors, the clear quartz actually has the properties of all colors. And if you put a little thought process into it, you can actually program the clear one to do whatever color you want.
Okay.
Okay, it's got the potential to tap into them all.
Okay, and would you repeat the color symbolism? You mentioned, for example, amethyst for the spiritual, and I think blue was for mental.
Right, and again, if I do this, I want to explain that I'm just doing a thumbnail sketch so it's easy for people to remember. But the amethyst works on the spiritual levels. The lapis, which is blue, works on the mental, and that's the psychic mental or intuitive mental levels. The citrine, which is a golden color, works on the logical mental levels. If we would, for a moment, let's say that the citrine is left brain and the lapis, which is blue, is right brain. Okay? Now, the pink color, the rose quartz, is for emotional balance. The green is for physical balance. Okay, and then we get into other little oddities like smoky quartz, which is a very good grounder and good protector for people who are surrounded by people who are very negative. It's a good protection stone.
Is that a sort of gray-brown color?
I'm sorry?
Is that a sort of gray-brown?
No, the smoky is usually a clear quartz which has been irradiated, so it turns a gray-black color.
Okay, then that's a grounding.
Yeah, it's a good grounding and protective stone.
Yeah.
Same is true with the agates, which are cousins of quartz. But again, I want to stress that I'm just giving a very major thumbnail sketch there.
Okay. But at this point, there is no one who is making the little rounded pebbles of the color stones, such as, let's say, lapis or citrine or something of that kind.
Not at this point. Especially with lapis and citrine, that's becoming a lot more valuable to people, and they're using it for jewelry and things. They're not crushing it up into little pieces. But there may be a possibility that down the road we can investigate bringing that in, too, if there's that much of an interest. At the moment, the crushed clear, because it has the properties of everything and you can use them to be whatever you want, that suits most people's purpose.
Okay, but Eric, does that help you?
Okay, what I was hoping to do was to use the crushed minerals and crystals in various colors in the making of a mandala, and of course that wouldn't be...
That wouldn't work that way, no.
In that sense, because it wouldn't carry the color. It could, however, I suppose, be put on a colored background.
Certainly you could put on a colored background. And the other thing that you might want to consider, in addition to working with the crushed tumble, is also working with Herkimer diamonds, which are very small little crystals, and they are very, very powerful.
And are they colored or clear?
They are clear. They are very unusual in that they're double terminated, which means they have a point at each end, and predominantly they're coming out of Herkimer, New York, which is why they're called Herkimer diamonds. They're really quartz. They just look like little diamonds. And they grow in a very different structure, and I would feel, I'm just, you know, it's just an opinion, but it seems like for what you want to do, that might actually be a better bet for you.
Okay, how is Herkimer spelled right now?
H-E-R-K-I-M-E-R.
Just like the town.
Oh, that was a big help. Okay.
All right, Eric.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Goodbye.
We'll be right back.
Hi.
Yeah.
Very good program.
Thank you.
I just rubbed my nasty planter's wart with my quartz, and I'm hoping for the best.
Well, I hope you have the same luck I've had.
Okay. I have a couple questions. One, about Reiki. Are you familiar with them?
I'm a little familiar with it. Not terribly familiar with it.
A lot of people use quartz crystals with Reiki. It's a Japanese healing art that channels energy.
I'll tell you what's happened is that we've had a lot of our students are people who work with Reiki. And what happens is that we always say that we're going to exchange and they're going to show me what they do, but we never get that far. By the time we get them to the workshops, I'm out the door and gone to another part of the country, so.
This is an amazing show. I learn something all the time. I never heard of Reiki.
Never heard of Reiki?
No.
Oh, I've experienced it, and it's a marvelously... marvelous
I've had the training.
I Reiki my leaves every now and then.
Boom. But what it does is they somehow attune your crown chakra and it channels energy and nothing you can see or feel so much. Sometimes your hands heat up and sometimes the energy causes your body to rock back and forth.
Yeah, one of the things that we do in our crystal classes, and we may do it tomorrow at the Sportsman's Lodge too, is teach people how to balance the chakras. For the people out there, let's just have an understanding, Brian. Not everybody knows what chakras are. If you went to your typical Dodger game and asked people where their chakras are, most people would be looking under the hood of their cars. So for those who don't know what a chakra is...
You wouldn't find them there either.
No, sirree. A chakra is an energy center on the body, and you have seven major ones, which include the top of the head and the brow, which some people call the third eye, and all up and down the body you have these energy centers. And when you get those energy centers in alignment and the energy is running smoothly, you're in the here and now, you're in the center of power. But unfortunately, because anything can affect the chakras on the emotional, mental, spiritual, or physical levels, they get knocked off. So we will be showing something that will balance the chakras in 30 seconds.
And we just balanced out this hour, Brian.
Okay.
We got to run. Take a little break for news. Thank you very much for checking in.
So many people that will get our newsletter or hear that we do a radio show or TV show, and they can't get out to come to a lecture, and they want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally thought, okay, we'll put out a tape. And so we put out the first one on crystal basics. And the response has been so good that we're starting to put out a whole set. We now have crystal basics, crystals and psychic development, one on UFOs, and in the next few months we'll have Releasing Emotional Blocks, a tape just on practical uses of quartz. There's going to be one on meeting your spiritual guides and teachers. So this is just the beginning. These three are the beginning of a larger package.
Dr. Peoples told me I had a spiritual guide. Wait, not me. He liked my car. His name was Skywalker. Not Luke Skywalker, but I mean, that was the best way you could put it into English.
Right.
And he loved my car.
Huh.
Now I've got a new car, so I don't know whether he's with the old car or...
Right.
Or I got to talk to
him. Are you going to have Dr. Peoples back again?
I hope to have him here in the next 6 weeks, something like that.
Oh, beautiful.
Got to talk to Thomas about it first, you know.
Sure, check in. Check in with the keeper.
All right.
Only
we have Rachel on the line, huh?
Good morning.
How are you?
I have three short questions. I hope they are.
Okay.
Do you have any mail order or mailing lists that are available?
When you say...
one can send for to order?
Absolutely. If you call that number, 818-761-0945.
I took it down.
Yeah. If you call that number, they'll tell you about anything that we can do on... anything at all that we can do through a mailing list. I'll also very quickly give you a post office box, which is, first of all, Heidi Ho. That's HIDE-HO. Heidi Ho Enterprises. And that's P.O. Box 1168-224. I can hear her scribbling away.
Uh-huh.
In Studio City, 91604. And we have, like I said, we put out the tapes through the mail. We can send crystals through the mail. We are really trying to help those who... We want as many people to come to our free lectures as possible because we love to meet people and show them, actually do the demonstrations and show you what happens. But also we want to be able to help those who cannot get out to us. So that's how we're going to do it now, through tapes and crystals through the mail.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
My second one is also short. I have a 16-year-old poodle who decided to... that he would stay around a bit longer when I added chicken soup to his diet.
Oh, it'll work every time.
Yes. I'm going to say definitely yes, because we have a lady. Her name is Dr. Gloria Dodd, and she works up near San Francisco. She's a veterinarian, and she had a poodle that had definite congenital heart failure. She ran all sorts of different tests, and you'll have to forgive me, Rachel. I can't remember what they all are off the top of my head. But this poodle was a goner. And she decided she would make a little harness with crystals. And she attached them to the poodle, and within 6 days, the poodle was up and running around. It was such a big deal that the CBS News department went down, did a little feature on TV about her and her crystal work, and she's been working with other animals. And so we will have crystals both for pets and for children as well, so that they can have the advantage of it also. My animals all wear crystals.
Pets, for children, do you have any crystals that quieten them down?
As a matter of fact, we do. There are crystals that will help with hyperactive children. We have found that the lapis will work with some and the rose quartz.
I beg your pardon? Oh, the third isn't exactly a question, but one time, just before I awakened, it was sort of a dream, something said, hold chrysophase in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never heard of it before. Before or since, actually, and I looked it up, and it seems to be kind of jade.
Well, it's not exactly a jade.
Well, whatever it is.
But it is. It's another member of the quartz family. So, yes, you could definitely hold that and get a certain amount of change also.
Can you just had that in a dream, did you say, Rachel?
Well, it was something. I don't know what.
You got a message.
I knew that I wasn't awake, and then I awakened immediately, and I'd never heard of chrysophase. In fact, I don't think I even spell it properly in my life.
Well, I
haven't come across it since, but I did look it up, and it indicated with some sort of not clear.
Well, no, it's not a clear stone at all, but I can help you with the spelling of it, if that'll help you any. But there isn't a lot that's been written on it. It's a green stone, though, and green stones definitely work on physical balance.
And would you use it with crystals?
You could.
But
you certainly could.
The thing is, why would I come up with that? I'd never heard of the thing before.
Well, you know, sometimes when people come up with that, the first thing they do is they negate it by saying, well, how could I come up with that?
Mm-hmm.
My way of looking at it is that you came up with something that is a real stone that really exists,
mm-hmm.
and wherever you got the information doesn't seem to be as important as doing it and seeing if it works for you.
With crystals or without?
Try it without, try it with. The great thing here is the experimentation.
Have you any idea where I could buy one?
Offhand, I can't say that I do, but you might want to try some of the lapidary shops. They may have some. and also some of the jewelry stores may.
Well, thank you very much. You've
okay.
been very helpful.
Thank you, Rachel.
And my dog thanks you, too.
All right. Get him one of those little collars or whatever it is, crystals out there.
I will.
Okay, Rachel. Thank you. I'm Bill Jenkins with Ho tonight. We're talking to Bill Jenkins. Ho is with me, and I believe Bessie has joined us tonight. Bessie, welcome aboard.
Thank you. I want to ask Ho about the crystals. Do they increase idiosyncrasies and eccentricities? And with diamonds, a person's head of diamonds, their imprint, matrix imprint, is imprinted in the diamond. And that if you inherit it or wear somebody else's diamonds or something, it affects you and all that type of thing.
Well, let's take that second question first and come back to the first one, which we may have to restate. But the thing about diamonds, all jewelry and all gems hold on to a certain amount of that person's energy. It's what we call the aura. And when you do something called psychometry, that's where you pick up something that belongs to someone else and you start to sense things about it. You're sensing from the energy imprint that's left behind. That's why we take all of our jewelry or our... If I were given rings, for example, I would do something to clear out the energy within them before I wear them. Because we have seen it happen that somebody might come in and might be very depressed and pick up a crystal and then put it down on the table. And someone else may come in and they're in a great mood and then pick it up and get a little depressed. And all it is they're sensing that other person's energy. It's not them. It's not the crystal. They're just sensing that energy that's behind it. By doing the light invocation into the crystal, we can get rid of that whole effect. Now, diamonds are based on carbon, and so we don't really see too many of either the ancient groups that use them for energy balancing or healing or any of the other groups working with diamonds. What I always say is diamonds may be a girl's best friend, but quartz is definitely mankind's best friend. Now, the first question again was...
Crystals, if they will cause... eccentricities and idiosyncrasies in a person that's emotionally disturbed. And I like what you were saying about the emotional block.
Yes.
And also, wait a minute, there was one other thing.
Well, let me answer that question because that's an interesting question. It gets us into opals. In general, the answer would be yes, it is possible. But then there are other types of crystals that you can wear, other colors that may balance out those imbalances and idiosyncrasies. But now, something like opal. Opal is a crystal that's gotten a very bad reputation because everybody has heard that opals are bad luck. And there's two reasons why that's happened. One is because it's very difficult for jewelers to set opal. Opal has a tendency to crack, and so jewelers would rather not work with it. So they're the first ones to tell you that it's bad luck and try and sell you something that's more expensive also. The other reason that that's happened is because opals seem to affect the emotions. And someone who is emotionally upset might put on a crystal that's an opal and get even more upset. We have certainly seen that happen with certain people. So, yeah, if you find you're wearing a crystal that's causing that kind of problem, take it off and try a different kind of crystal. Because different crystals will affect different areas of the body.
What did she say? Crystal phase or crystal glaze?
Crystal phase.
How do you spell it?
Now she asked me. Now that I've closed the book, I had to look it up. I'll tell you what, though. We'll look it up, and I'll tell it over the air the next time I pull it out. I'm not the world's best speller. I wrote for television and radio for 15 years, but no one ever said you had to be able to spell to do that.
You ought to see my newscast. But you don't get to read them. Okay, Bessie.
What about that thing on emotional block? Where's that going to go?
That's going to be on Tuesday night at the Sportsman's Lodge at 7:30. It is a... I'm just looking to see what that's going to be now. That's going to be a $10 lecture at 7:30 at the Sportsman's Lodge. And we will do some crystal exercises for releasing emotional blocks and for balancing the imbalances. We'll deal with guilts, and we'll deal with the little part of us that doesn't want to get things done, the part that gets in the way.
Oh, God, how I need that.
You know, the part that our parents have helped program while we were little and our peers have reinforced. You know, that old great line, I can't, I won't, I shouldn't. We're going to get rid of all of those.
That is a neat one.
It's a lot of fun, and it's going to be a taping, which means the tape will be available later. So anyone who wants to get in and play on that one, 7:30, and that's Tuesday night. That one's $10, but the Sunday and Monday ones are free. the 2 and 7:31s are free.
When are you going to be in Orange?
That's going to be on Thursday.
Thursday. Uh-huh.
And that's going to be a free, it's a $5 lecture on crystal basics.
Oh.
But we'll be there from 11 to 11 at the Quality Inn on Brookhurst. And again, because it's hard to keep saying these things over and over, we take up a lot of radio time.
Uh-huh.
The number is 818-761-0945. And this time, folks, I promise you we're going to have people on those phones round the clock.
Okay.
All right, sir. You can call over there and get all the information on where it's going to be. Thank you very much for Bessie for checking in with us on Open Mind with Ho tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins on Talk Radio 7.
Bill, I'd like to find out where I could get some of those quartz crystals. I've looked all over for them.
They're everywhere.
They're not everywhere, but they're starting to be everywhere. You can get quartz crystals in most of the New Age bookstores now, the metaphysical bookstores. But we do have crystals on sale, and like I said, we tried to get all the crystal people together, all our dealers together, to help us out with this, and they have brought in some amazing things. So we'll have plenty of jewelry, plenty of necklaces, plenty of pendants. We're going to have points and clusters, eggs and balls, and some very unusual pieces, including this 200-pound, it's a 200-pound clear quartz cluster, which is a little much to wear, perhaps, but it's nice to look at. Put on a coffee table, giant geodes.
I wouldn't wear. Labrador stores usually have quartz.
They usually have quite a bit of that, too. Yeah, you can get it from there.
Where is that?
Labrador stores, rock shops.
Oh.
They hate it when you call them rock shops.
My big problem is I'm blind, and it's so hard for me to get around. I'd love to attend one of your sessions, but I just can't get around.
So in that case, if you call the number that we gave you, and I'll give that again in a second, we can arrange to send you crystals if you need them, and, of course, the tapes as well. It's a perfect way to put on a tape. And these are 90-minute tapes. They're not 60-minute tapes. They're 90-minute lectures which have been edited down to try and give out the most important information.
Is that a type of tape I can put on my stereo?
Absolutely.
Good.
And we have three of them now, and there'll be more in the next couple of months. So.
Well, then, will you give me that number again? I've got to write it down for you.
Sure. It's the number for Heidi Ho Enterprises. And that number is 818-761-0945. And the people there can also tell you all about the tour. And like I said, we'll also, I know you can't come to this, Catherine, but we will also have the photographs of the crystal skull so people can take some time and look at them and see what's there, and free lectures. So it's going to be quite a big get-together on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Oh, I'd love to see it, but I just have no way of getting it.
Well, that's why we tried to figure out a system to get to you, and we thought the cassette tapes were the best way.
Oh, that'll be fine, then I'll call this number tomorrow.
Okay, Catherine. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, for Bessie, we spell chrysophase, C-H-R-Y-S-O-P-R. A-S-E.
Right now, Bessie, right. I hope you've got that. Ruth, you're on.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I took a session, two-day session with Ho a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, and been convinced that crystals are one of the best things that walked into my life. And I particularly want to say thank you for the light invocation, one of the most useful tools I've been given in years. I recommend everybody write it down, and particularly in stress moments, use it because it works.
Can you repeat it to me again?
Certainly. I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide.
And it works for you, huh?
You bet. The reason I'm calling, I'd like to throw three things out and then listen to what Ho has to say. First of all, I made a present of a double-terminated quartz crystal to my mother, a real unbeliever recently. But on a whim, she decided to use it, and she's a researcher. And she was holding her crystal and noticed an interesting phenomena, which was flashes of intuitive inspiration. She'd been using sleeping pills to sleep for quite a while and thought, well, why not just give it a shot? So she took it to bed with her one night, held it in her left hand, and she says had one of the best night's sleep she'd ever had in her life. However, that crystal has disappeared, and it hasn't fallen into bed covers or anywhere else, and I was curious if there'd been any cases of dematerialization.
Oh, boy.
That's the first thing. Second thing...
Okay, can we take these one at a time? Because if we get a whole list of them, the listeners and I forget the questions.
Okay.
Let's take them one at a time.
All right.
Two things on that. Yes, there are cases of that. Let's start with materialization because it's, for some reason it's easier for most people to believe that things appear than disappear. There are stories about shaman and Indian, in Africa rather, who will tap their cheeks and crystals will fall out. And what happens is when they can no longer tap their cheeks or some part of their body and produce crystals, that's when they're thrown out of the group. Now, just so that we know it isn't just shaman in Africa, when I was in Palm Springs, I had a young lady, she's 7 years old, come up to my table, and I had crystals that were all approximately an inch to an inch and a half long. And she started taking little tiny crystals that were like just petite little pieces out of this basket, and I knew there weren't any in there like that. So we dumped everything out on the table. We put the big crystals in one at a time so her mother could see what we were doing. And then after she took out another half a dozen little ones, I thought it was time to stop playing the game. But it isn't just shaman. There are people who are able to do that. Now, another aspect of this is that, as we talked in the beginning, crystals are living things. And anything that's alive... And understand why I say crystals are living things, folks. First of all, because they grow in the mineral kingdom. They grow very slowly, but they grow. Anything that grows is alive. And anything that we acknowledge as having life on this planet has water in it. And crystals are, quite frankly, in a way, they're fossilized water. So we know crystals grow. And crystals won't stay with anyone that they don't want to stay with. They disappear. Now, I know that there are going to be scientists out there who are going to want to take me over the coals on this and know exactly how they disappear. I don't know how they disappear. They just do. Now, Ruth, another thing I wanted to ask you before you ask your other two questions. Did you do the crystal healing workshop with us?
Yes.
All right. One of the things that I have discovered, because we teach a technique in there called the balancing of the brain hemispheres. And one of the things I've discovered is that if you balance the brain hemispheres before you go to sleep, it cuts down on insomnia. What happens is that we go to bed after having put in a full day in the left brain mode, and our minds keep whirling while we try to go to sleep. So I sat there for an hour and watched the clock until I remembered I hadn't done that, balanced them, and within 3 minutes was sound asleep. And I suggested it for other students, and it's worked.
Well, I'll suggest it to my mother then.
Please do. Now, you had two other quick questions?
Yeah. The issue of clearing and charging. I've been using the initial process of the 7-day thought clearing.
Mm-hmm.
I recently received literature from an institute involved also with crystals, which recommended not doing that. They sort of described it as a destructive process, and they suggested just water and soap with a mental intention.
All right. First of all, there is no damage to the crystal. Salt is crystal in its natural form. And crystals do not get hurt by salt. Crystals are the hardest substance we know after diamonds, and the salt won't hurt them. All it does is salt was something, you see, in the beginning, Ruth, you know, we started off with salt because it was something that most people couldn't do wrong. You follow?
Yes.
Okay. And question number three.
Okay. I recently met a shaman, an American Indian shaman, who had been using crystals without... He wasn't in on what's happening with crystals and the explosion of information at the moment. And he described where, in handing a crystal to an individual, it was perfectly clear to start with. It then clouded up in the presence of the other individual. When it was given back to him, it completely cleared again, which was an indication of some negativity there. In terms of negativity or perhaps changes that crystals can undergo, one thing I'm a little concerned about right now is the amount of information that is out there available to people about the uses of crystals, which I believe is a technology and not a mystical science, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little concern about the misuse of what can be done, for example, with power and energy rods and things like that, that are becoming extremely popular.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to go into different books and different authors and people tonight, Ruth, but there are some books out there which are definitely very... very aggressive in the way they use crystals. And I don't believe in that. I'm just interested in the changes that I can create within myself and the people around me that are balancing changes. I certainly would say that through the study, I have realized that there are a lot of potentially negative techniques that people can learn, and I can only hope that people keep away from them on their own. That's an individual thing. There is certainly a belief that Atlantis was destroyed because of a misuse of their power, and crystals were part of it. For those people who believe in Atlantis, that's a very valuable possibility. It's a very valid possibility. All I can say is there's a lot of misinformation out on crystals because it's a new field. It's a relatively new field. Most people are writing the same material over, and we have two strange things happening. One is we have a lot of people writing books because they've either read a book or taken a class and figure, I can rephrase that and put a book out. The other are people who channel information. Now, I am very much impressed with many channels. I've worked with mediums quite a bit. But the thing is that these people will channel information and write a book and never try the technique to see if it works. And that, I think, is a great injustice to the public who want technique. That's why I've put out the cassettes, which are crystal techniques. That's why I'm working on my book, which will be an encyclopedia of techniques. And this gives me a great opportunity to mention something else. To my mind, almost all the crystal techniques work. There's a lot of discrepancy between one group saying their techniques are better than another. I feel all techniques work. However, I also feel that certain techniques work better than others because they're either based on scientific or metaphysical principles, which have been tried and true over and over again. And those are the ones that I'm trying to gather together for this encyclopedia. And when I finally put the encyclopedia out in whatever way it appears, I will then open it up to anyone who wants to send us a technique that we can perhaps try and then put in if we get some level of result. But that's what we're trying to do with Crystal Awareness, and particularly with Heidi Ho Enterprises, is get techniques that work.
Does that help you, Ruth?
Yes. Could I sneak one other thing in?
Make it quick.
Okay. Charging crystals. I've done some very creative things. We had an electrical storm a few weeks ago. You could bet your bottom dollar my crystal was out there in it.
Oh, marvelous.
But what about the changes that crystals do undergo in terms of clearing or losing their cloudiness and things like that? What's going on?
The cloudiness is actually moisture, which is trapped inside the crystal. And as you hold the crystal and work with it, mostly that moisture will go away. You know, you mentioned something else before, though, when you were talking about negativity. We had a man come into our classes in the very beginning, and this man had a small problem. Every time he picked up a clear crystal, he turned it jet black. And I actually had him do it half a dozen times for me because I had trouble believing that that wasn't sleight of hand. But he literally turned the crystal black.
He had a black heart.
A black heart. Well, as we worked with it, he slowed down, and eventually he didn't turn them black anymore. But I've seen that happen, too. There are a lot of things that happen in the crystal world that I understand and can explain. And I think one of the things that keeps my interest in the crystal world is how things will occasionally crop up that I don't understand at all.
Well, Ho, why wouldn't a crystal want to stay with a person?
Oh, it may, that could be an individual thing. It could just be that the crystal itself has other plans for itself. It could be that for one reason or another, it doesn't feel that it's in tune or in harmony with the person.
I understand. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth.
Good
Bye-bye.
Questions.
Mm-hmm.
She's into her crystals.
She is.
Certainly is. Jim, you're on.
Here I am. Thank you. I wanted to ask the Ho if, he experienced it. Many people, one person could hold a crystal and it would bring on effect. Another person would hold the same crystal, bring on a different effect. And maybe one of the people that would change the aura in, and another person that would change it to almost totally different color.
Oh, yeah. There's, because everyone is a different individual and everybody has different balances within them, different people will get different effects. And that's why, for example, when I was giving out the colors before, I said, this is a thumbnail sketch, because there are individual changes, and we have to take that into account, too. That's why we always have our students, we say to them, look, this is what we've experienced and found out, but please experiment and let us know what you come up with.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'd like to share with you. I'm a reflexologist. I've had people hold various things. Like in one hand, and I'd be working on both feet, or working on an opposite foot, or foot on the opposite hand, and they'd feel a tremendous surge in energy by holding the crystal and switching it. And I've had them hold the crystal, and I'd hold their feet or hands for work on the feet or hands, and then take their tongue and move from one side of the mouth to the other, and they'd feel a different surge in energy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Not specifically the way you're doing it. I've heard of little things that come close, but not quite the way you're doing it. But I can appreciate that that would happen.
Well, you see, I'm one of the Golden Voyage fans, and I've used Golden Voyage and crystals, working tapes,
mm-hmm.
Working with people. And I've also done some experiments in the refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
noticing, and I don't have a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a lot of energy in my house, our house.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that carrots, after you break the top off of them, will still grow little sprouts in the refrigerator.
That's interesting. We have definitely seen that the crystal water helps plants and things. But you mentioned something else that's interesting, which is crystalline sound. I've attached crystals to all my speaker wires because I have a large sound system and a lot of tapes and records. And we have noticed that certain types of music, especially loud rock music, causes a stress on the body, which is weakening. And we've done some tests and found that when you put the crystals on the wire, it doesn't change the sound perhaps noticeably, but the amount of stress on the body is reduced. So we've done that. And I had another experience, which I'll share with you because it's a silly one. I went to a concert recently, which was a rock group, and I brought my crystals to hold because I knew I was going there, and I really wanted to feel all the energies. And they almost had to take me out in a stretcher because my whole body started falling apart. And it wasn't until we got home and we got talking about it that we realized what had happened. I was on the side of the stage, and only the second or third row, where the bass player was, and the bass player in this group plays a bass that is two octaves below any other bass that's being used. And it was the amplification of this bass sound rumble, and the crystals I was holding were starting to stress the body tremendously, and bing, bang, bong, everything went.
Well, then, they were magnified in that?
Yeah, they were. So they definitely will magnify. You know, sound has a tremendous effect on the body. It can be tremendously healing. I think a couple of nights ago, I was seeing a news report somewhere where they were doing sound massage. They had people lying on the floor, and they were playing different instruments and things over them and causing a change in the body with sound.
Dr. Peter Guy Manners has been doing that for a long, long time.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah, I've listened to him and talked to him many times. But anyway,
and
I've seen him take tuning forks.
Uh-huh.
And do that over the body, and the resonance from the tuning fork would. But I know it'd be interesting to try that with a tuning fork and crystals.
Yeah, see how that would work.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim, does that help you?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you, Jim.
Thank you for
Bye-bye.
Sharing that with us. It's Open Mind. I have Ho with me tonight. We're talking crystal. Talking now to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, Bill. I'm leaving crystals, and we heard a statement about an hour or so ago, and we're cleaning, charging your crystal. One way was put into the sunlight, which seems very logical.
Mm-hmm.
The other way it says revoke, and one of the statements was Christ. So, do not believing Christ, though Christ is not the Messiah, but it's a man, how could a man, just by asking his name, put energy into a crystal?
Good question.
Well, we're working our way to Sunday, so I'll put on my reverend robes for a minute and put it to you this way. I also agree that Jesus was a man. There's no question that he existed. But what we're talking about here is we're not talking about the babe in the manger or the man that was nailed to the cross. We are talking about Christ consciousness. The premise is that Jesus went out and he studied and he purified and he meditated and he achieved Christ consciousness the same way Buddha did or the same way that Confucius did or any of the other great religious thinkers. Now, we're not telling you that you have to say it that way. You could say, I invoke the light of the love within, or I invoke the light of the god or goddess within. But the word Christ has power, and it's measurable power. And if you end up coming to the Sportsman's Lodge for any of the lectures, I can actually show you the difference when you use one word and when you use another. Words have power, and the word Christ has power. And it works whether you are a Christian, a Buddhist, a Jew, or even an atheist.
I remember when Dale was here and gave that before. They tried with all different kinds of words in there, basically perhaps with the same feeling that you are expressing there, Mike, but they come back to this one because that's the one that works.
See, I would demonstrate that for you now. The problem is if I do it, no one can see it over the radio. So if you come to the Sportsman's Lodge and ask, because what I'm going to do is I'll demonstrate how the water works, I'll talk some about wearing crystals, we'll do some other demonstrations, but I'm predominantly there to answer questions, and I will just take as many questions as we can get in the time that's allotted. And it's a free lecture, so please feel free to come on down. Again, I don't want to take much more time to talk about it, but that number is 818-761-0945, and they'll tell you where we are and what we're doing, and it's going to be a lot of crystals, a lot of photographs, and a lot of fun.
Does that help you, Mike?
Yeah, what city is the Sportsman's Lodge going to be in?
That's in Studio City. That's the Sportsman's Lodge for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday is at 12825 Ventura Boulevard in Studio City.
And what time is the lecture?
The lectures are at 2 and 7:30 on Sunday and Monday. The crystal sales are 11 in the morning to 11 at night. And on Tuesday, crystal sales 11 to 11 with a lecture at 7:30 on releasing emotional blocks. That lecture is $10. The others are free.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you aboard. And we have Laura here.
Yes. The gentleman that was before me asked some of the questions that I wanted. I understand that the free lectures are at Sportsman's Lodge. I know where that is because I live in Encino. And if the lectures are at 7:30 p.m.?
2:00 p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
2 and 7:30 on
right.
This Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday?
That's correct.
Okay. In any particular room?
It's called the Green Room. I think it's called the Green Room. It's a new room they've just built, but they'll know at the Sportsman's Lodge and direct you to the right area.
Okay, then I have one other question. That'll help me how to sleep.
No, well, we may talk about that a little. What you're talking about is the Crystal Healing Workshop. Now, let me just mention that because I haven't. The Crystal Healing Workshop is a two-day workshop which is going to be held at the Sportsman's Lodge on August 23rd and 24th. It goes from 10 to 6 p.m. with an hour and a half for lunch. And it's $125 at the door, or we have a Bill Jenkins special, which means if you come in and bring Bill Jenkins with you, only a joke, just a joke. If you come in and mention Bill Jenkins, you have to pre-register for it, but it's $100. And it's a two-day workshop, full workshop with a certificate, and you get some four-color healing crystals as our gift, and we'll talk about everything from balancing the physical body to working with the emotions and mental bodies. And just there's so much in that workshop that...
And that would be Tuesday.
And no, that's going to be next Saturday and Sunday.
August 23rd.
Right. Tuesday is the releasing emotional blocks. The best thing is to call that number and get the information, and they'll take the time to tell you everything in detail.
Do you have a question for Ho now, Laura?
Okay. Yes, I have this one question about jade. Somebody had mentioned jade, and I have a hand-carved statue of a Mexican god that was given to me as a gift many years ago. It's in Mexican jade. Does it mean anything, or does it do anything?
Well, it depends what kind of god you've got there.
The different
gods do different things. If it's a fertility god, for example, it will do something different than if it's a clown god. I was told today that Mexicans have clown gods, which I knew nothing about, and I wanted to know because I have only 15 years background in comedy, so I thought I should know about the clown god. But all joking aside, jade is a very nice stone. It's not really, it looks like a cousin of quartz. And because of its color, again, you see, if you're not sure what a stone will do, you can always go by its color. Now, the green color works on the physical body, and it's also good for things like money. Ever wonder why our money is green, at least on one side? Now you know. So it's good for those kind of things, but it's a little different from quartz.
Now, what if I brought it down to the lecture?
You need to show it to me?
Right.
Well, I'd definitely like to have a look at it.
Okay, great.
All right, Laura?
Okay, thanks an awful lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, Laura. You're on Open Mind tonight with Bo. We're talking about crystals on Talk Radio 79 KABC. Interested in a high-performance tire? Well, check out Michelin's new Sports XGT at four-day tire stores. Michelin Sports XGT is a low-profile tire designed for responsive steering, aggressive tread design, special tread compound enhances traction on wet surfaces. But you shouldn't just go anywhere for your XGT. Four-day tire stores probably sell more high-performance tires than any other dealer in the United States. So they understand the needs of the high-performance customer, like special care for custom wheels. Four-day tire stores don't use power wrenches on custom wheels. They hand-torque them. Many four-day tire stores also feature new European-type tire changers that remove and mount tires without ever touching the outside of the wheel. The new Sports XGT from Michelin. For high-performance cars at four-day tire stores, 17 new Southern California locations at the former Target Tire Center buildings. The wait is short. All these new stores, so you'll be in and out in a hurry. Call your directory assistants for the closest location, four-day and Michelin, because so much is riding on your tires.
Let's make a call from a cellular phone.
Okay,
now follow me.
Where are we going?
Into the handset.
Wow, it's complicated in here.
Come on.
Where to?
Out. Into the airwaves.
Into thin air?
No. There's a whole system out here.
What kind of system?
The Bactel system. You can't see it, but it connects cellular phones to the rest of the world.
And what's that ringing?
Well, that's us. We're here.
Where?
Bactel.
We're calling on a Bactel authorized agent.
Yes, sir. Our latest...
Look at all these cellular phones.
Bactel authorized agents have the largest selection anywhere.
Gee.
With professional installation.
All this with one phone call.
That's why they call Bactel the one source for cellular.
Yeah.
Now follow me.
where to?
It's time to call home.
For the authorized agent nearest you, call Pactel, the one source for cellular at 1-800-222-3772. That's 1-800-222-3772. A Pacific Telesis company. KBC time, 6 minutes away from midnight. Time for maybe, we'll try to get a couple of quick questions in here. Rowena?
Rowena.
Rowena, how are you?
I'm fine. I was told that I have a male crystal and a female crystal. I was told that the male was clear and the female was a little cloudy.
Well, that's typical.
Is that? Oh, thank you.
If you like this joke, wait till you hear mine.
What's
yours? Well, how do you know you've got a male or female crystal unless you looked? That'll take a moment to
answer that, Rowena.
You see, Rowena, the thing is, we get into a lot of things here. We get into male and female crystals. We get into left and right-handed crystals because people are writing books and saying, well, you shouldn't hold a female crystal in your male hand, or you shouldn't hold a left-hand crystal in the right hand. Now let's get real here for a moment. The crystals are working no matter which hand you hold them in.
Right.
For a left and right hand crystal, let's forget male and female for a second, but for left or right hand crystal, unless you know how to tell the difference by sight, and I can't think of more than three people who do, the only way you're going to know is to take it under some microscope and look at it. And you don't have that kind of technology to rely on, do you?
Well, not really, but of the two crystals, one is more cloudy than the other.
Cloudiness does not have anything to do with whether they're male, female, left or right hand. All it means is one is...
As a male and a female crystal.
I don't know about male and female. It's definitely left and right hand.
Well,
but
I was told if I was going to meditate with one in one hand and one in the other. Would it matter if I changed them around?
It only matters, Rowena, it only matters if it matters to you. If you change them around and find you can't work with them, change around, change them back. The key here is if you don't have the equipment to double-check these things and be sure, you go with what feels right, and as long as it works for you, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I was wearing one around my neck, and it was pointing downwards, and I was told that would drain me.
Yes, drain you of your energy, and that is, again, to my mind, and it's an opinion because I know where you got that from, to my mind, that's a lot of nonsense.
Okay.
All the people that we know wear crystals wear them point down. And what we can show is when you wear them point down, it sends more energy to the lower energy centers. When you wear them point up, more energy to the upper energy centers. What that means in English is if you wear it point up, it's going to the upper energy centers. It's good for meditation. It's good for spiritual work. It's good for trance work. When you wear it point down, it's a grounder. It brings you into the here and now. Quite frankly, I hope the person that's driving home on the freeway next to me is wearing his crystal point down.
Right. Okay. I was also told that you don't really have to program a crystal, that they just have the powers and it's whatever you're thinking.
You don't have to program one. You can program it if you want to do something with it, but it's not necessary to, no.
And how long do you have to put it in salt water? Let's say if I use it in my teaching with my students.
If you do the salt water technique, 7 days. Okay. Or you can put it into sea salt for 7 days.
But, I mean, then I couldn't use it every day, really.
Not for the 7 days you got it in there, no. That's why we suggest this other technique for the light invocation.
Okay, Rowena, well,
can
I help you?
Can you repeat that, the light invocation?
Invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide. And if you call 818-761-0945, they'll be able to give that to you again.
Great. Thanks a lot.
And we're invoking the closing theme. We've got to go. Ho, thank you so much for filling us in on the crystals tonight.
Thank you, Bill. Your listeners are sensational.
We'll be with John Bedini next week after baseball, then Paul Shepard on the UFO experience in South America. Tony Robbins will be on a couple of weeks from now. We'll do fire walking for you. So we've got a lot of things planned. See you next week.
KABC Talk.